chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, and we have text 43. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shakti Traya Samitaya Midhushe Hankritatmane Cheta Akuti Rupaya Namo Vacho Vibhutaye Shakti Traya Samitaya Midushe Ankritatmane Cheta Akuti Rupaya Namo Vacho Vibhutaye. Vaishnavas, translation word by word. Shakti Traya, three kinds of energies. Sametaya, unto the reservoir. Midhushe, unto Rudra. Ahankrita Atmane, the source of egotism. Chetaha, knowledge. Akuti, eagerness to work. Rupaya, unto the form of. Namaha, my obeisances. Vachaha, unto the sound. Vibhutaye, unto the different types of opulences. Translation, this is Lord Shiva presenting his prayers. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller of the worker, sense activities, and results of sense activities, karma. Therefore, you are the controller of the body, mind, and senses. You are also the supreme controller of egotism, known as Rudra. You are the source of knowledge and the activities of the Vedic injunctions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone acts under the dictation of the ego. Therefore, Lord Shiva is trying to purify false egotism through the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Since Lord Shiva, or Rudra, is himself the controller of egotism, he indirectly wants to be purified by the mercy of the Lord, so that his real egotism can be awakened. Of course, Lord Rudra is always spiritually awake, but for our benefit, he is praying in this way. For the impersonalist, pure egotism is Aham Brahmasmi, I'm not this body, I am spirit soul. But in its actual position, the spirit soul has devotional activities to perform. Therefore, Lord Shiva prays to be engaged both in mind and in action in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord according to the direction of the Vedas. This is the process for purifying false egotism. Citta means knowledge. Without perfect knowledge, one cannot act perfectly. The real source of knowledge is the vachaha, or sound vibration, given by Vedic instructions. Here the word vachaha, or vibration, means the Vedic vibration. The original creation is sound vibration. And if the sound vibration is clear and purified, perfect knowledge and perfect activities actually become manifest. This is enacted by the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus Lord Shiva is praying again and again for the purification of body, mind, and activities through the purification of knowledge and action under the pure directions of the Vedas. Lord Shiva prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that his mind, senses, and words will all turn towards devotional activities only. Om Agyanati Virandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshuram Ritalina Tasmai Shri Guru. Om Vishabhadaya Krishna Sthapitaya Shivade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namhe Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Vani Kacharine Nirvishisha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Manchakalpavya Vashyapri Vasindhu Vashyapri Vanam Pavane Bhyo Vishnu Vibhyo Namo. Translation again, if you like to repeat. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller of the worker, sense activities, and results of sense activities, karma. Therefore, you are the controller of the body, mind, and senses. You are also the supreme controller of egotism, known as Rudra. You are the source of knowledge and the activities of the Vedic injunctions. This verse talks about many elements and especially talks about the ego, ahankara. Here known as ahankrita, ahankrita, or So Ankara and action. And it says that the Lord is supreme controller of the world. So I prepared a little presentation for you. It's called the Karta Dilemma. I don't know if you can see the screen. Can see the screen? It's clear enough. The Karta Dilemma. To be or not to be the doer, that is the question. Shakespearean flavor. Karta. Karta means the doer, the author of the action. It's a very common word. Karma, karta. Karma is the action, karta is the agent. Agent, doer, author of the action. And why it's a dilemma? Because in many different philosophies, there are different understandings. Who is the doer? Is the soul the doer? Is the soul not the doer? And frankly, I observed a lot of confusion even among the devotees, frankly. Therefore, I thought of presenting this. Next. Maybe somebody can help me by reading, because I can't see the screen. Who can read loud and clear? We have a mic.
What action means?
Yeah, do you want to use the mic? You get to. Please. So what action means? Next. Delegating it? Oh, okay. So,
from Wikipedia, action theory philosophy.
Okay, there is an entry in Wikipedia. The action theory. It's a part of the philosophy section, and there are many theories. In fact, it's interesting. In this entry of Wikipedia, they list more than 60 philosophers and 60 scholars who have. Try to understand what action is. I mean, we may have a bit of a spontaneous understanding action. Yeah, action, we understand, you know, doing something is an action. But let's see, next. Can you read when things come up?
Action, behavior caused by an agent in a particular situation.
Okay. So you have somebody who does the action and a particular context of the action. That's like a basic definition. Next.
Agent desires and beliefs. Example, my wanting a glass of water and believing the clear liquid in the cup in front of me is water.
Okay. So just like the Bhagavad Gita says, there is a karma chodana. What inspires the action, what propels the action. So, in this example, there is a glass of water, there is a desire for water, there is an understanding and it's water. Next.
Lead to bodily behavior. Example, reclining over for the glass.
Okay, simple activity. There is a glass of water. I see it's water, I reach out for the glass. Okay, next. This is a mini video on that. The person is taking water and drinking or try to drink. In this case, he pours mostly out of his mouth for some reason. Maybe it's a joke. See? Somebody should explain that they should close the mouth. But anyway, you get the idea. This is one example of action. There is somebody doing something. Next. So, Bhagavad Gita 3:27. This is a very important verse, very famous verse. Many devotees know the Sanskrit. Okay, Sanskrit. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani. sarvasha ahankara vihudatma kartaham iti manyate. Many of you know the Sanskrit, and it's an important verse, the third chapter. Ahankara vimudatma. When one is bewildered, is made into a muda by ahankar, by false ego, by false identification. When one is bewildered by false ego, then it thinks to be the author, or to be the whatever there is to the action. And this is the translation. Can you read that?
Spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature.
So my observation is sometimes that the devotees, based on this verse, conclude that we are not the doer, we are not the karta. Everything is done by material nature, by the gunas. But the soul is not active. Now, I'm not asking your belief or your understanding, I'm just asking, have you heard this understanding sometime? How many of you have heard this understanding based on this verse, that the soul does not act? Everything is done by material nature. How many of you have heard this presentation? Raise your hand if you heard this understanding, that the soul is not the author of the action. Okay. Now, so we are all familiar with this idea. Unfortunately, this idea is not a completely accurate idea. The verse says, if you see the translation, is very subtle. It says, the soul thinks to be the author of action performed by material nature. In other words, the idea, it's not that the soul is not the karta. The idea of the false ego is the soul is the only karta, is the only agent of action. Next. This is from the purport of Srila Prabhupada.
The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord.
Okay, so you see how Srila Prabhupada refines our understanding. The person in false ego thinks he is the doer of everything. So that's what false ego causes. And that's certainly a right understanding. The soul in itself is not the author of everything. Next.
The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently. And that is the symptom of his nescience.
Okay. So that's the symptom of ignorance, that he takes the credit of everything. In other words, he thinks, I'm independent. So that sense of independence, that sense of being separate from a superior controller, that's the source of the ego. But it's not the source of the ego just to think that we are the author of action. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita goes on, next, and in chapter 18, there is the whole discussion where Krishna really gets into the, in this case, the factor of the action, what are the ingredients of the action, what are the motivators of the action, what are the type of agents, agents in tamaguna, agents in sattvaguna, agents in rajaguna. The Sanskrit, please. Who can you read that?
Adhishtanam tatha karta. Karanam cha pritak vidam, vividas cha pritak chesta, devam chevatra panchama.
And this is the translation.
The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, is that it? Senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action.
Okay, so you see how this gives us a better understanding. What does it mean? We are not independent. There are five elements, five factors of action. Most important, Panchamam, the fifth, the Paramatma. But the soul is the karta, is one of the elements of the action, and in fact is the responsible of the action. And Srila Prabhupada stresses very strongly that the soul is the doer. Next.
The soul within the body is acting to bring about the results of activity and is therefore known as karta, the doer.
Okay, so you see that there's a little subtle, because in the previous verse was karta ham iti manyate, that the soul bewildered by false ego thinks himself the karta. Karta aham iti manyate. He starts thinking, I am the karta. But here Srila Prabhupada says the soul is the karta. Next.
That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in the Shruti, Esha hi drasta srasta, from Upanishad. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, but the verses Nota Eva 2318 and Karta Shastrarta Vat.
Karta Shastrarta Vat. Okay, so as you can see, Srila Prabhupada stresses again, the soul is the doer. It's a very important concept, because we are the soul. We are here to understand who we are, so we have to understand. This is really crucial to our understanding. I mean, we start with, we are not the body, fine. But then, okay, what's the nature of the soul? So we need to understand very clearly, what does it mean to be the doer? And let's analyze a little more this Vedic, this is Shruti, these are the Vedas, Upanishad, Vedanta Sutras. And Vedanta Sutra technically is not Shruti, but it's based on the Shruti. And so, let's see more about this particular three references Srila Prabhupada gives.
Esha hi dasta prasta srota rasayita kritamanta bodha karta vijnana purushaha.
Okay, this is from Prashna Upanishad. Prashna means question. So it's an Upanishad in which there are six questions and six answers. Translation.
The individual spirit soul is the seer, the toucher, the hearer, the taster, the smeller, the thinker, the determiner, the doer, and the knower.
Okay, it's the doer. The soul is the doer. And it's the soul who thinks, the soul who sees, the soul who smells. This is, should be very important. The senses are instruments, but the senses are completely blind because they are inert. It's like windows. You look outside the window, you see trees, you see land, you see a sky, you may see animals, but the windows are not conscious, are not aware, are just windows, are just holes in the wall. So similarly, we see, I'm opening my eyes, you opening your eyes, and we see forms, but it's the soul that sees. The eyes don't see anything. The eyes are simply an apparatus to take that particular form, that particular object of the senses, and bringing in touch with the mind. Next. So this is a purport from 10th canto, chapter 87. This is the prayers of the Vedas personified, and Ridhadananda Maharaj and his team write these things.
The Vedanta Sutra 2.3.17 unequivocally states, the jiva soul is always a knower. Nota eva.
Gyota eva. Okay, next.
Although the soul is in truth both conscious and active, the proponents of Sankhya philosophy wrongly separate these two functions of the living force. Atmani yeja bidam. Ascribing consciousness to the soul, purush, and activity to material nature, the prakriti.
Okay, so we are very... Now this is a crucial thing. The idea that material nature is acting, prakriti is acting, and the purusha is inactive is actually an atheistic philosophy. Is this Sankhya is not the Kapila Deva Sankhya. This is the atheistic Kapila Sankhya. So we need to be very careful when we go to that Prakriti Kriyamanani verse, that the ego makes us thinking we are the doer. We have to be very careful not to slip into atheism, because the philosophy that the soul is not the doer, it's an atheistic philosophy. And then next is the evidence why the soul must be the doer according to the Shastra.
Srila Vyasadeva refutes this idea in the section of the Vedanta Sutra 2.3.31-39 that begins Karta Shastrata Vat Vat. The jiva soul must be a performer of actions because the injunctions of scripture must have some purpose.
Okay, this is a very interesting logic, very interesting statement. Karta Shastrartha Vat Vat. Karta means the soul is the doer, is the performer of action. Why? Because Shastra, scriptures, Shastrartha Vat, they have the nature of having meaning. What does it mean? Scriptures means injunctions. In fact, the very word Shastra comes from Shash Dhatu, that means command. So the scriptures give us instructions. Do this, don't do that. Eat this, don't eat that. Wake up at this time, don't wake up at this other time. So the logic here that Vyasadeva brings up in this Vedanta Sutra is, if the scriptures give us orders, commands, instructions, there must be a conscious soul, a conscious performer that can perform those actions. Otherwise the scriptures would not have any meaning. If it was only material nature to act, only the guna, only the karma, then the scriptures would not have any sense. What's the use of saying get up for Mangalarti if you don't have the capacity of getting up for Mangalarti?
Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushan in his Govinda Bhashya explains, the jiva, not the modes of nature, is the doer. Why? Because the injunctions of the scripture must have some purpose. Shastra Vat Vat.
Okay, so this is a Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Govinda Bhashya is his commentary to Vedanta Sutra. At one point, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were challenged by the Ramanandi in North India. He said, look, you don't have a Vedanta Sutra commentary, Therefore, you are not the bona fide Sampradaya. And you cannot worship the deity. And so, as a Sampradaya, we don't get into the writing of Vedanta Sutra commentary, because Gaudiya Vaishnavas, following Lord Chaitanya, they accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary. But in other Sampradayas, unless you have your commentary to Vedanta Sutra, you're not a Sampradaya. Who are you? What's your philosophy? What is your school? So Baladeva Vidyabhushan was challenged, and he entered into a mood of prayers, and then Govindaji of Radha Govinda in Jaipur, Govindaji, he dictated the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. That's why it's called Govinda Bhashya. Bhashya means commentary, and Govinda is Govinda. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan compiled this commentary and he gave the credit to Govinda. So it's the Govinda Bhashya of Vedanta Sutra. And he explained this: the jiva is the performer of action. Next.
After all scriptural injunctions engage the living entity in performing prescribed action by convincing him that he can act to bring about certain enjoyable results.
So in other words, the scriptures tell the jiva, look, if you do this, you get something good. Therefore you should do this. So this is an elaboration of why the jiva is the author. Because when the jiva changes the consciousness, he gets more knowledge. Oh, there is a better place, Swargaloka. I should do these yagyas. Then it changes his actions. And obviously, if the jiva was not the doer of the action, he could not change his action, he could not do anything. And so the jiva can go to Swargaloka, next. Can go enjoy for some time in this paradisiacal heavenly planets. Or he can choose to go to Vaikuntha and join the eternal associates of the Lord. Or the jiva can go to hell. Because he's responsible. The jiva can choose to do sinful activities and therefore end up in a very, very miserable condition. Next. So back to the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 21, kind of combines the two ideas.
Karya karana kartrive hetu prakriti uchate purusha sukha dukhanam vankritve hetur uchate.
Very good.
Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
Okay, so there are two different things. The nature is the machine. And of course, the mechanics of the machine are both the big machine, the macrocosm, or the microcosm. The molecules, the atoms, cells of the body, or the mesocosm, our body. These are all machines. And the machinery works beyond our control. I mean, we cannot, for instance, decide when the sun rises or when the sun sets. It's already set into motion. There are certain laws, there are certain controllers, there are certain Ishwaras. And the machine moves, and the whole thing moves. Even our own body, we cannot control certain activities like digestion or the flow of the prana or the blood within the body. So all this, karya karana kartritve prakritir etu uchate. It is said that prakriti is the cause of those things. But sukha and dukkha, pleasure and pain, is the soul that is responsible for that. Is the soul that is responsible how he interacts with the machine, how he drives the car of the body. If somebody drives a car in the wrong side of the road and he causes an accident, he cannot say, well, you know, this is the engine is responsible, the wheels are responsible. It's not like that. You drove the car in a certain way and you caused problem, you caused an accident, and you are responsible, and you are going to jail. They're not going to put the car in jail. They're going to put the driver in jail. The driver may say, no, but I was only doing it like this. I was only doing like this. Yeah, but you made an accident, you killed 3 people. So you go to jail. And in the purpose, Srila Prabhupada say many things, something very interesting.
Suppose an entity is put into the body of a dog. As soon as he is put into the body of a dog, he must act like a dog. He cannot act otherwise.
Okay. So, it's not by chance that the living entity is put in the body of a dog. And so when they put, because he made certain choices, probably bad choices, so he's confined, conditioned by the body of a dog. And the dog works as a dog. And that's produced by material nature. The dog has a certain longevity, generally what, 12, 15 years, 10, 15 years. And the dog produces sound in a certain way, it barks. The dog eats certain things. The dog thinks in a certain way. And the soul is forced to act as a dog. But he is responsible for being put in a dog body. So, as a bit of a conclusion next,
Tatrevam sati kataram atmanam kevalam tuyaha pasyat tyak krita buddhitvam nasa pasyati durmatihe.
So Lord Krishna condemns the idea of being the only factor of the action.
Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the 5 factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are.
Okay, so this is, you can take it a bit as a conclusion. In other words, Krishna says, one is durmati, mati, intelligence, dur, very bad. He's a fool if one thinks to be the only cause of action. Kevalam. Kevalam means pure, purely, only. If one thinks that I am the doer in the sense of forgetting the other 4 factors of action, that's produced of ahankar. And that's what Lord Shiva is praying for us to be delivered. But we need to understand that we are the doer, we are aware, we are conscious, and we are responsible for our actions. So, any question or comment?
One, two.
Can you pass the mic around? Thank you. Thank you for reading.
Thank you for the lecture. I asked Bhakti Vikash Maharaj this question. I asked him once.
One thing in general, when you ask question, don't say, I mean, not for you now, for everybody, when you say something, present your understanding. Okay. Because if you present somebody else's understanding, first of all, we don't know if your understanding is correct, if your memory is correct, and if you say, this Maharaj or another Maharaj say something different, I say something different, you know? So, as a general rule, I encourage you all, when you ask a question, present your understanding. Or just say, I heard somebody saying.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry for the
it's okay.
Clarification.
It's okay. But it's like, I agree actually with this, what's this understanding. Like, I asked it, anyway, I asked a question. I did ask a question that whether I can control my body. I asked him this question, can I control my body? And his first answer was no, you cannot control the body. So then after a few minutes he was thinking more, then he came back to me and he said, actually you can control your body but not independently. But then another interesting point was added, that he said the senses of the soul, they're frozen. They're not in an active state. And so then there is a period where there has to be purification, where you can revive the actual activity of the soul. But I don't know if this actually has a connection with this exactly, I think it's a relevant point at this point.
Okay, so basically the first part of the answer confirms this. In other words, we don't control the body, because obviously the body is made by material nature. The body has a certain way of functioning, and we don't control those ways of functioning. Like, this body is not designed to fly. So I cannot say, by mind over body, I'll fly. Of course, I can connect with subtler laws of nature, but the body is not designed to fly, at least not as a bird. So I cannot just flap my arms. At the same time, then Maharaj also mentioned that you can control the body, I mean sense control, and that's all about sadhana bhakti. We have certain activities, we chant our rounds, we go to the temple, we do devotional service. Certainly we can control those activities, obviously. Otherwise, again, the Shastra would not have any meaning. All the books of the Acharyas, chant Hare Krishna, would not have any meaning. Okay? Now, about this image that the senses are frozen, I wouldn't use the expression frozen. Because, as we read in that Upanishad passage, it's the soul who sees, who smells, who hears. I would say that the senses are covered. And therefore we are connected only with the material spheres of life. Not only that, but because of contamination, we enjoy certain aspects of material nature. But the senses are not, the senses of the soul are not frozen. Because otherwise, who is perceiving? You are looking at me, I'm looking at you. I see a form. Who is seeing? It's the soul who is seeing. Because only the soul is aware. The body is not aware of anything. The body is inert. Is it clear? Okay.
This one analogy given is like, the person in a state of illusion is like a person bitten by a snake. So he's bitten by a snake, he's lying on the bed, he's unconscious. So in this regard, when Maharaj said it's frozen, I thought, yeah, okay, it's frozen, because the analogy given that he's bitten by a snake, the analogy given in the Shastra, a person who is in illusion is bitten by a snake. It's like a person that's bitten by a snake and he's lying unconscious on a bed. So when Maharaj said it's frozen, I agreed, like, yeah, okay, it's frozen. He's actually just in a dreamlike state, you know?
Yeah, but frozen and dreamlike state is different. See, you are obviously not frozen, right? You're asking a question, you heard something, your intelligence worked, your remembrance worked, then you ask a question, you heard an answer, you considered the answer, you have a further question. That's not a frozen person. You don't look like a person bitten by the snake who is unconscious. You follow? See, analogies means there are two things, they are different things but they have similarity. So I don't see you as unconscious, I don't see anybody here as unconscious. Maybe somebody fell asleep because of the boredom produced by the presentation. But You're not frozen. You're not bitten by a snake. But you're not frozen. You see, you're answering. Who is answering? When you speak with somebody who is, like you said, bitten by a snake, is unconscious, he doesn't answer. You can even kick the person because he's in a state of coma. But you are not in a state of coma. So this analogy doesn't fly. And in fact, see, in a state of dream, we are also aware in a state of dream. The only difference between the state of dream and the state of awakened is that we think that when we dream, we are awakened. That's the difference. But we are conscious. The soul in the dream has all the sense perceptions. He sees. We see things in dreams, right? We all have dreams. We see things in dreams. And our eyes are closed. Right? I mean, this is basic thing. We go to sleep and we dream and we see. We see people, we see environments, cities or countryside. We see them. So who's seeing that? It's the soul who's seeing them. Speak in the mic.
But the actual soul, if he wants to act on the absolute platform, spiritual platform, he has to be awake. The soul has to become purified, the senses have to become purified, then he can act, he can do. The soul can do. Otherwise it's material nature or the illusory energy that's enacting our desires.
Yeah, this is what we have been saying. Karya karana kartritve karana prakritir hetu uchate. What's happening here is happening because of the material nature. But the soul is responsible. The soul is the doer. The soul is not frozen. Maybe in deep sleep, you see, in Vedic culture, there are three stages of consciousness. One is Jagrata, when you awaken. Awaken means your senses are in touch with the object of the senses. Like now, I see the carpet, I see the floor, I see the fan. I'm aware of my environment. In other words, my consciousness is connected to the senses. Second stage is called swapna or dream. The senses are, my consciousness is not connected to the senses. I don't see through my eyes, I don't touch with my hands, I don't taste with my mouth. So I'm in the subtle body and I'm experiencing life in the dream, taking it as if I were awake. So there is disconnect with the senses, but there is connection with the subtle body. Then there is a third stage of consciousness, it's called susupti, or deep sleep. In deep sleep, the soul is detached even from the subtle body. So that's dreamless sleep. That's described in the Upanishads as susupti. So in that stage, we may say, yeah, the soul is not active because it's not interacting with the field. But otherwise the soul certainly, but even there the soul is not frozen. The Acharya explained, even in susupti the soul is aware. And they give the explanation that when you get up from a very deep sleep, you feel, oh, I had a very deep sleep. So it means you were aware, you're conscious of your experience. Although your experience was not expressed through your senses or through your subtle body, you still had experience of yourself. In fact, it is said that susupti is very similar to Brahman realization, because this is a total detachment from material nature, basically. I'll take a few more questions. There were a couple more questions. But again, see, these are very important things that sometimes there needs to be discussion because there are different ideas and different understanding. So, I'm trying to present the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, and very clearly, Srila Prabhupada, you saw very clearly, you can go and read 18:14, the soul is the doer of the action. Yes?
In the five factors to action, I didn't notice where the soul came in.
The karta. Can you go to that? Back 18:14, just at the almost half. In other words, the author of the action, that's the soul. It's like saying, who built the long building? There are different levels of understanding. You can say, Srila Prabhupada built the long building, right? And it's a correct understanding because that was his idea. He wanted a very long building, this shape. So we can all say that Srila Prabhupada built a long building. And it's a correct understanding. Now, he was not supervising the work personally. Often he wasn't even here. So you could say that actually Jagdataka Maharaj built a long building. Because he was here. He was running around with the workers. So you could say Jagdataka Maharaj built a long building. And it's also true on a different level. At the same time, Jagdataka Maharaj, I don't think he put the bricks himself. So you could say that the masons, the builders built the building. That's also true. You can see some Bengali worker and say, see, these workers built the long building. And it's also true. So you need to understand, what are we referring to? So, can you read the translation? Can't read.
The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the soul. These are the five factors of action.
So, in the purport, very clearly, Srila Prabhupada explained that that karta, that performer, is the soul. Just like we say sometimes, the performer of a sacrifice. But the performer of a sacrifice at time, he doesn't touch the ladle, doesn't touch the spoon, doesn't touch the fire. He's the yajaman. But, you know, he's the one for whom the sacrifice is performed. So you can say, Maharaj Yudhisthira performed Ashwamedha Yajna. He wasn't pouring the ghee, but he performed the Ashwamedha Yajna. Then the priests were doing it. Like that. Anything else, or we close here? Last contribution.
Thank you for your class. I'd just like to ask if the super soul is ultimately one of the five factors of action, and if the super soul is witnessing all our activities, is he ultimately the one who awards our next body?
Yeah. The Vaishnavacharyas, also Ramanujacharya, says among the five factors in regard to the results of the action, the Paramatma is the most important. In the Bhagavad Gita, somewhere else, the Paramatma is described as Upadrashta, the witness, and Anumanta, the sanctioner. Upadrashta, Anumanta cha. Upadrashta. Upa means close, and drashta means the seer, witness. No? So he stands there and he looks. But he not only looks. In other words, he's not just a passive spectator that he just looks. He's also anumanta. He's sanctioning the result of the action according to the karma, according to a number of factors, according to his own sweet will. So certainly, yes, the ultimate and supreme factor of the action is the Paramatma. But again, this is not his playground. It's not his playground. This is for us to act. In other words, this world is not created for the Paramatma to act. is created so we can act in this world. And the Paramatma witnesses, controls, sanctions, takes care of the reaction, the consequences, the destiny of the soul. Okay? So thank you very much for your attention. Granta Rashima Bhagavan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.